I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can be there for you. Visit betterhelp.com/morningstream today and get 10% off your first month. TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Amanda Goddard, Tara Rode, Cesar Vasquez. Coming up on TMS, the parasite streak continues.
This is Kim's husband. He's a podcaster.
I don't like jalapeno and oyster
Reckon the CVS bathroom.
It was reeking too. Pan Am. Pansexual, amateur sexual.
Put that in your chicken and roast it.
There's nothing west of Seattle.
Back end, no barf.
Dog bit my crotch and I liked it.
Beer makes people happy.
A big gulp of beer.
Diggity.
It's a lot of beer. A complete back end operation.
We invented podcasting, damn it.
Copyright laws messed up with Stephen and Moore on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If Jesus exists, go and get him right now. Tell him I'm buying. Hey, Bobby, another fish sandwich and soda for Jesus.
Rye Dog, that was the bomb diggity, my friend.
The Morning Stream. Would you like a closer look?
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's Monday, September 25th is the date of the 2023 year. And I'm Scott and that's Brian. All right.
Hello. Hello.
Put that in your chicken and roast it. All right. Good morning, Brian. I'm assured you had a decent weekend. You had a.
I did. I had a very nice weekend. Had a good time at Beer Fest. We'll talk about that in a minute. Big thanks, of course, to Linda and Dennis from Deep Draft Brewing in Bremerton, Washington.
Yeah.
Not only gave us tickets, but gave us beer.
That's great. Is this the kind of connection that'll just every year you'll get to come back?
I hope
back
so. And, okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know what? I'd be delighted if we got to see Linda every year, Linda and Dennis every year. Whether or not we get tickets to the show, just getting to see them would be a delight. And they're good people. And if you live anywhere near Seattle, please go check out Deep Draft Brewing. They're in Bremerton. They're just a ferry ride, just right across the Sound. Oh, yeah. Some dude came up and said, Deep Draft Brewing, Bremerton, where's Bremerton? I said, well, it's west of Seattle. He says, west of Seattle? There's nothing west of Seattle. Like, yeah, they're not on the ocean. They're on the Sound, and you can take a ferry across the Sound and get to Bremerton.
Some more geographical education knowledge kicking ass out there.
Exactly.
Guy didn't pay attention in that class, and it shows.
He did not.
Well, that's great. We'll get to more of that in a second. Yeah. I just wanted to put a big thanks out to everybody. We ended up having to pull the show pretty last minute Thursday. I guess Wednesday night is when I told you.
But,
for those who weren't aware, my wife's sister, Angel, she's was diagnosed in 2020 with stage 4 cancer and was doing pretty good. In fact, up to like 10 days ago, we were surprised how well things were going. She was about to start a new trial of a new drug that was supposed to be some hot new business, and she was going to be a part of that trial. So while the cancer was still there, she seemed to be holding it at bay, and her chemo was going well and all this stuff. And she looked great. You know, we just really were 10, 12 days ago, really hopeful. Everything was, oh, we're looking at years here at the very least, maybe longer if this goes well. Nope. Her liver started to fail. And when they pulled her, and this is how we found out, she went in for her you know, paperwork and all that sort of preliminary meeting stuff you do for this trial, which is kind of a big deal. You have to go through a bunch of hoops to be in a trial.
Yeah, to be able to find out if you're compatible and stuff.
And the only garbage part about these trials, I understand there is absolute scientific need for why this is, but you may or may not be getting the drug. You may be getting a placebo. That's part of testing. Sure. That's the way it goes.
How they do it.
Yeah. So I hate that. So if it really is this life-saving drug, and there are a few of those coming down the pipe, I just hate that those getting tested may or may not be on it. It just bugs me. But anyway, I understand why, though, right? I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, you're taking the chance to help save hundreds of thousands, millions more people.
Right.
Who, you know,
and you may be one of them if you get the pill, but if you don't, you're part of the double-blind sort of... What do you call it? There's a word for this when you do testing, when you do scientific stuff. Not double blind. What is it? It is double. It's part of the double blind thing. But whatever it is, there's a word. Anyway, she goes into this meeting. And they say, "All right, well, let's get you. Let's do some of these tests." And it was there that they found out that her liver, as of like very, maybe even that day or day before, had in earnest began to fail. And the cancer had spread there, and they knew that, but they didn't know the liver was in, you know, full failure mode. And so what a difference 10 days can make, because we went there Thursday, which is why we didn't have the show to go visit her. And my gosh, she's so thin and so just jaundiced and in really good spirits, though. They're giving her all the good drugs. You know, you always hear about fentanyl in the streets. Let me tell you where fentanyl's awesome: in hospice care. That stuff's great because she is in a ton of pain
management and
ton of pain without it. Like her, she's got stuff growing in places that very, very painful. And if it wasn't for this stuff, like in her case, a miracle drug, in some people's cases, a horrible, you know, chance to get addicted to something. But in her case, she needs it anyway. Tons of family around her and neighbors and friends and everything. She wanted me to tell everyone listening that she's very grateful for all the kind words. People said all sorts of nice stuff on Facebook and formerly Twitter and everywhere else. And it was really great to be over there. She's still with us. She's got all of her sisters are in town. They're all staying here kind of in perpetuity to see how things go. Basically her whole family's here now, and all of her friends and family, people from Texas where they used to live, have come up and are staying here for the duration. And we don't know what that duration is. It could be days. It could be another month. It could be an hour. Like, it's really hard to tell. She had an amazing day yesterday, horrible day before that. Like, it just sort of depends on the day. So anyway, F cancer. And also, it's just been rough around here. And here's what made it a little rougher. Kim came home from Mississippi with some kind of weird stomach bug. We played it off like, oh, you've been traveling and it's been stressful and you're trying to get home for your sister. And we just thought, no big deal.
Of course.
No, I ended up catching it. And yesterday, right after Film Sack, it kicks in. And I spent.
Did you throw up?
No barfing. Nope. It wasn't that kind of thing. I was still hungry all day. It was a complete back end operation.
Gotcha. Okay.
And one of the most horrific of the type I've ever had, worse than July when we all got.
Oh, really? When you have the water issues?
Yeah, that was worse. Yeah. Although I guess inherently better because we didn't have water issues yesterday. But
obviously, yes. Right.
But anyway, that was a rough day, and I just felt like garbage the whole day. And at 4 o'clock, we had scheduled to get our boosters and our flu shots. So I was like, I still feel like crap, but I'm doing this. I don't want to put it off. Let's just go.
Yeah.
So we go in there. This is great, though. We go into CVS. I don't usually do this at a CVS. It's usually this other pharmacy. But these guys got them first, so we scheduled it. They don't have any Pfizer yet. They had to do Moderna. It's fine, whatever. And they had the flu shot. So we're like, all right, we're going in there. And we get in there, and I immediately go, oh, I'm going to need a bathroom here somewhere in the CVS.
Oh, no, in a CVS.
I know, right? And the CVS is not obvious about where these are. It's not marked.
Sure.
It's in an employee. It's through an employees only door around a corner, and then there's customer bathroom. So it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go back there, and it says, it's got a little sign on it. It says, please ask an employee for access to the bathroom. Like some kind of gas station in the middle of Nevada or whatever.
Sure.
It's like, are you kidding me? So I go around the front And I understand this. There are people that'll like grab their prescription at the front desk and immediately go and like shoot themselves up. I understand there's reasons why you do this, right?
Yeah, I mean it's in all parts of town now. It's not just in the bad parts, sadly.
Yeah, it's just a thing. So I go around the front. Hey, can I get in the bathroom there? Yeah, I can do it, says this guy. And he comes around the corner. He's a little squat dude, little squatty dude in like scrubs. And he's like, okay, follow me. So I follow him, opens it up. I go in there. I wreck the CVS bathroom. And then
no toilet paper. Damn it.
Then I come out and I get the shots. And I just have an observation about CVS.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like anybody there is having a good time. And, you know, you can go to a lot of places and you see people enjoying their job, enjoying their work, whatever it is. It seems like it's fine. But in CVS, nobody looks like they're having a good day. And this was a very slow Sunday afternoon. Nobody there. It's like 4:30 in the afternoon, just like an empty CVS. And even the people that are there are just so grouchy. The girl giving me my shots didn't want to have any kind of like light conversation or anything at all. They're just like, and I'm joking with her going, well, we're doing the two in one arm today. We're going to see if we can just wreck one arm. Ah, and she's just like, okay, sit down. Here we go. Anyway, just a thought, something I noticed. But anyway, it made for a real stupid weekend for the most part. And then while we were at Kim's sister's, her dog bit my crotch. So that was fun.
Oh, nice. Good.
Not bad, but enough to kind of, you know, go, ooh.
Enough to just kind of remind you what's there.
Yeah, an inch to the left.
Dog and the crotch.
Yeah, an inch to the left, and we'd have been in some trouble. Also, her neighbors who were all there gathered in this living room were all learning about podcasting because somebody said, well, this is Kim's husband. He's a podcaster. I don't remember who said it. And immediately I went, let's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, right.
I don't want to have this conversation.
Oh, like that Zach Braff show?
So I explained it and said what we did. And I said, you know, if you're going to go, and they're all, oh, what's the website? I want to hear this. And I said, that's fine, but just go in there and know you're going to get some dams, some hells, and some shits occasionally. Okay, yeah, you're going to get some jokes. Swears.
Listen, we start the day off right.
That's right. We know how to swear, so just know that. And because some of them were, they looked like they might be offended if they heard me drop the S-bomb. Anyway, it was all just weird because at the same time, we're having this very quiet, somber moment with her sister. And then suddenly it turned to, oh, I've heard of that. Now, how does that work? Now, what do you do? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. It's all this and here's how it works. Oh, and I got to go.
When that comes up, like if I'm driving and they ask me what I do and I tell, well, I do, you know, I do some graphic design, website stuff and then I also do some podcasting. It's like, oh, good for you. Like, it's almost like a, oh, isn't that cute? You're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say, well, yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame. I've been doing it, you know. Actually, this week, it will have been, 19 years of podcasting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say, I've actually won some awards. You know, it's like, podcast, fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh,
just
that's
let
cute.
It, you just let it flow and let them have their moment of whatever.
Did you start because of that Murder Buildings show? The Murder Building?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I waited until Hulu had a hit series about a podcast. Exactly. Not the other way around, where we helped build the podcasting world to the point that a series could be made about podcasting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, not the fact that I helped pave the way for music licensing for cover songs and podcasts. That, you know, that they practically could have a contract named after me. But they don't because I didn't ask them to do that. But they could.
No.
You know.
No, it was Steve Martin, Selena Gomez, and Martin Short. That's how.
Yeah, that's who. Right. First it was Ricky Gervais created podcasting. Then Joe Rogan created podcasting. Then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure WTF thought it did for a while. A lot of shows think they invented it. None of them did. Brian and I did. All right. We did.
Yep. Exactly.
You're listening to the show where we did it. All right. The only other thing I'd say is schedule wise, my goal or hope this week is that no show should be affected, especially in the morning show. I'll be doing some visits over there at night and stuff like that. But unless the worst happens, and when it does, I'll make sure people are aware. But if there's going to be no shows for something, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah, and don't even, you know, this should be the last thing you have to think about when family stuff happens. You know, I mean, obviously, yeah, we care and we want to know if there's a show or not. But it's like you say, no show today. We totally understand and we absolutely
care. We have a family first rule here on TMS absolutely. And Frog Pants in general.
Actually, all the Frog Pants shows, yes.
Yeah, all exactly. of it. I mean, that includes things, you know, sister shows and all of our friends. Brian's, all of his independent shows, they observe the same rules, okay?
That's right. All my independent shows. So, you know, Coverville, no Coverville because family first.
Family first, right? No Coverville must mean family. What else did you do at the Beer Fest? Anything fun? Did you see anything crazy? Anybody barf on you? Anything good?
You know, it was, here's the thing. The Beer Fest, for whatever reason, for whatever it is that beer does that hard liquor doesn't do, I was figuring out that this is my eighth year of attending the Beer Fest.
Oh, wow.
And in all those 8 years and all that alcohol and 90% male attendance at the Beer Fest, maybe it's 75% or 80%. I don't know. I'd be really curious to figure it out, but, never seen a fight, never seen any sort of argument, fisticuffs, nothing. Like it
not
is
even like a disagreement, beer, like a vocal disagreement.
Nothing, wow. Nothing. Beer makes people happy.
Wow.
Whatever it is. And no barfing. Go in the bathrooms once you break that seal. Once you go to the bathroom the first time during that 4 hours, you're done for. You're going to be going every 30 minutes. Mm. I made it through 3 hours before I had to go to the bathroom. So I only had to go twice.
That's pretty good, dude. The deal. Yeah. Look at you holding your pee. That's amazing.
Hung out with Wes Burgess Diesel and his wife, Mal. They are awesome, awesome people and live here in Colorado. And
nice.
He was pouring Friday night for Left Hand Brewing as well. So, and we didn't realize that we were in visual range of each other Friday night, texting each other. Well, where are you at now? Where are you at now? Oh, well, we should say hi. Where's your booth? And I couldn't figure out where the friggin' pro am booth was. Yeah. I was thinking pro am. Like, what's that? I never in all the years that I've heard pro am, heard that phrase. I never figured out that it was pro amateur collaboration.
Oh, pro-am. You know what? Until this very second, and you saying that, I didn't know that.
I don't feel dumb. What the pro am? Like I always thought, it's a car.
I guess it makes sense because pro, short for professional, am short for amateur. But I've never put those two together. Anytime I've said there's a pro am race, I'm like, cool. Whatever am means, let's go. We're going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Weird.
Never had it.
Weird.
So anyway, but we did hang out almost the whole time. Wes and Mal, and they got to meet Crazy Neighbor and see Crazy Neighbor firsthand.
Nice.
Crazy Neighbor. So when you see a line of breweries and they've all got like, oh, this one has a Pilsner and a Saison and a Bock, and this one over here has a stout and a lager and a brown ale, blah blah blah. Dave looks at two things. He looks at the length of the line and the percentage, the ABV, the percentage of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And basically, high percentage short line means perfect storm. Give me one of those.
Sure. Did he find a lot? I mean, is that a possible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we were looking at stuff that was 8.5%. We had a barley wine that was 12.5% that was not, I didn't find it very good. It was a little, it was like a fortified port wine kind of flavor to it. Really, really sharp. Didn't like it. Mm. Finished it because it was just an ounce, but
sure.
Wasn't as much.
Do you
of a
shotgun
fan.
It when you don't like it? Or do you, what do?
Shotgun it because it's a lot easier than going back up to them and pouring it in their little dump bucket that they keep next to their pitchers.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm going to ask for something else to get the flavor out. I had a wine. All right. If you're a beer, if you're ready for this, tuck in everybody. Mm-hmm. We had a beer that was made from jalapenos and oysters. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was much more jalapeno flavored than oyster flavored. No, it really wasn't. I mean, it wasn't very good. No, I
sounds horrible, dude.
Yeah. You couldn't taste any oysterage. But just knowing that it was there is like, all right.
Oh, what a combo.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, you want some peanut butter on that pickle? No. No, don't give me things that sound bad together. I mean, I am always impressed when someone says, hey, if you combine these two things, it's amazing. And when it is, it's like, oh my gosh, I never would have guessed. But that does not sound like a combo I'm interested in at all.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. The from Bull Island Brewing Company. It is a, it's called the Oyster Jalapeno Porter.
Oof.
And yeah, didn't enjoy it as much.
I mean,
had a maple. Oh my God. Had a maple coffee stout that was excellent.
I could see that one.
Yeah,
that I could think.
That was really, really good, and it wasn't overly sweet. I was really worried about that, and it was like Tristan and I go up there and like, ooh, a maple coffee stout, good, this sounds great. Tristan goes, oh wow, are you guys from Vermont? They're like, nope, Texas. Like, we walked away. We walk away and he says, well then they should have poured bigger.
I see what they did there. That's good.
Yeah, but Tristan had a blast. I mean, we all, it was a great group. We really had a good time, and
that's great.
Had some delicious beers. So delicious beers.
So is your eighth or ninth?
Eighth year. Eighth of year. Going, so
nice.
Yeah,
nice. And no sign of stopping.
No.
Get in the van, Dave. Still, we're going to get some stuff. Dave,
this is my one day a year that I drink beer. I mean, it's not totally true. I'll drink a Guinness. I do like and you know, if we do go out to trivia and they don't have cider, then I will do, basically I'll just say, what's the darkest beer you have, and I'll drink that.
Yeah.
I like a milk stout. Oh, final count on my watch was 52.
52.
So 52 ounces of beer, which really, I mean, when you think about it, it's four 12 ounce beers plus a little bit.
Yeah, it's like slightly bigger than a big gulp, you know. Down at 10, down at the 7-Eleven, it's not really that much.
Sure, that's a good word. But keep in mind, none of these are 3-2. Like, nothing there is, I mean, they had 3-2 beers there, we weren't drinking them.
Mm, Dave was.
Yeah.
Right. Not you, though.
He wasn't drinking 3-2.
No. Oh, really?
Nobody
not.
Was drinking 3-2. No, 3-2 is nothing.
Really? That's too low. Oh, that's not high, that's low. See,
that's
low. I don't know about alcohol. I don't know how it works.
Yeah. More higher the number, Scott, the more the alcohol.
So if it's 3-2, I thought that meant three parts alcohol, two parts everything else.
No, it's percent. It means that of that 12-ounce can that you're holding in your hand, 3.2% of it is alcohol.
Okay. Yeah, 3% is nothing. That's small. Oh, 3.2. Got it. All right. So when you say 3.2, that's just
it's really 3.2%.
Okay. Yep. I'm not in this world. I don't know how it works. real quick, to answer a question from Icor earlier, he says, what does all this mean for Pan Am when we were talking about pro amateur? It means pansexual amateur sexual.
Amateur sexual.
Yeah,
yes.
That's exactly how it works. Okay. Hey, Brian, tell me about Lyft. What happened? Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
We got a thing for that. Let's play it.
Play
where
that.
Is it? Can't find it.
Make sure I get a 5-star rating, Junior.
Yeah. What do you got?
You need to watch that. That's Equalizer 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Three, right? Two?
No, two. Two had that. Dude is the Equalizer is a Lyft driver for part of Equalizer 2.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, that's great. Friday, I go out driving after we do our couch party and everything.
Yep.
And my first ride is to a local hotel right off the highway. Fairly nice. It's La Quinta. Fairly nice. La Quinta, by the way, is Spanish for next to Shoney's.
Scott for bacon. Right, well, I think of Shoney's. I think of tons of bacon. That's all I think.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so, but I noticed that, you know, usually when you get the ride, it shows you on a map, here's the pickup spot, and then here's where you're taking them. And you figure out, like, oh, I'm taking them over to the airport. I'm taking them down here. I'm taking them over there. But there was no drop off. And I swipe up and look at the actual addresses, and they've got the starting address and the ending address at the same place. And no, you know, sometimes when you get that, it's because they've added a stop. So it's like, take me to the dispensary and then take me back to my smoke filled bungalow. But in this case, no, it was like no stops. It was picked me up at the La Quinta, dropped me off at the La Quinta.
Weird. Just a quick ride around the block kind of thing or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So at a red light, I'm able to, when the car's not moving, I'm able to use the Lyft communication app and or the communication feature. And so I go in there and I text. It requires you, by the way, to use one of their boilerplate messages first to initiate the conversation. So it's either, hi, I'm Brian, your Lyft driver, or I'll be there in 7 minutes or whatever. So I click, hi, I'm Brian, your Lyft driver. And then I can type whatever I want. And I say, hey, I notice you've got the starting and ending locations at the same place. Could you, you may want to edit that before I get there, just so I know where we're going once I pick you up.
Sure.
And I send. I keep driving towards La Quinta. And sounds like Trump.
La Quinta, Quinta.
I like it.
You know, there was staying at La Quinta.
Anyway, so as I'm driving, I'm like, well, they still haven't responded to my text. So I call, I hit the little phone call button and I say, hey, it's Brian. I get their voicemail. Hey, it's Brian. I'm your Lyft driver. I'm on my way to pick you up. But I sent you a text about this too and blah, blah, blah. I tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
And I keep driving, get all the way to La Quinta. No answer. I'm like, well, what the heck? All right, fine. And part of me is one like little nervous, little gun shy that it's some sort of scam thing again. Right. I'm always thinking about like, all right, how is this going to be a scam? They're going to like get in the car. It's going to be this cheap ride because they've got the start and ending location. So they're going to pay whatever the Lyft minimum is. And then they're going to tell me to take them to the airport or something.
Sure.
I pull up and I see the person who's, you know, doing this, look at their phone, looking around. It's like a very, you know, it's a very obvious thing that this is the person looking for a Lyft.
Sure.
Down at the phone, looking up. And then they see the car and they're like, oh, they wave. And I pull up and I roll down the window and say, hi, are you Ashley? And she nods her head. And then another guy comes up to the car and says, we're deaf, but he says it in the way that, you know, okay, this is a person who's communicating, they're deaf. I'm not going to impersonate him.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. And there's four of them and they've got a ton of luggage.
More than your car is typically had?
About the maximum my car can hold. Like four people and this amount of luggage is about it. So I hop out of the car and I open the back up for them. And while I'm doing that, I'm like, how am I going to communicate to them the problem that the starting and end, I can't just go with my hand, like pointing to my palm, like this is where we start and this is where we end.
Oh my gosh.
So I grab my phone, pull it out of the charger, bring it over to them. And I'm like showing them the starting and ending places. But all Ashley is seeing is that I'm pointing. She only thinks I'm pointing to her name. And she's like, yeah, she's pointing to herself saying, yes, that's me.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, oh, no. And I waggle my finger, for those of you listening to the podcast. And I slowly point towards the address and slowly point towards the second address. Well, she didn't see my text, Rainbow Bright. Like, I texted her earlier on. She totally missed it.
Yeah.
I could have pulled up Notepad and said, that's not like that.
Sure.
And I don't have any paper. So finally, one of the other women that's with her figures it out. And she goes, oh, and she puts her hands over her mouth like, oh, gotcha. And then she signs to Ashley the problem and changes things up. And so...
did they have a destination in the end? Or
they did. So they changed it. And it goes, bing, bing, bing. And it says, oh, okay, new destination. And it's like south part of town. I'm like, great. All right, cool. Plug the phone back in. They all hop in the car, close the trunk, push really hard to get the trunk down all over all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Not the airport. I actually was going to. this is where my charades, all those years of charades, finally pays off. I was going to say, point to them, you going to the airport and like do an airplane coming in for a landing, but I didn't have to because the address came in. But I figured, oh, with all that luggage, they're going to the airport, but apparently they weren't. So,
oh my gosh.
I hop back in the car, start driving there, and I'm like, God, I would want to put my music up at regular, like the volume I listen to it when I'm alone, but I feel like that would be, disrespectful. I don't know. But they're, you know, they're all having a conversation in the back, signing back and forth and stuff like that. I need to learn. I do want to learn some basic, like, I think this is thank you. The hand, vertical hand to the chin kind of thing.
Yeah. Carter's fluent in it. Only one I know. Tell me, but I don't know. For
really?
Sure.
Yeah. But I want to learn like yes and no and you know, hello and is hello just waving?
Is I don't know. It should be if it isn't, right?
Yeah.
It seems.
Oh,
simple.
Stephanie says no. This is not thank you. Oh gosh, what am I? What have I been saying? What have I been saying to my deaf passengers?
It means F you. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't mean that.
Carter's fluent in ACL, but I ACL not ACL. That's your knee. What's it called? ALS? No, that's a disease.
Yeah, no, American. Oh, ASL.
ASL. American, I was getting all my letters mixed up. She's really fluent in it. She could absolutely tell
she's
us.
She's learning.
She could tell me what that meant, but yeah.
Well, apparently, it's thank you is like blowing a kiss, but lower at the chin. So,
oh, like this. That.
Okay, so it's flat-handed against the chin, like that. Okay. Yeah.
Brian and I are like that guy that got busted at that press conference for not knowing it at all and was just making symbols. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, right. Wasn't it during Nelson Mandela's speech or something?
Something like that. It was like some kind of big highfalutin thing, and he was just nonsense up there.
Yes, and it was just like, he's like doing the, you know, he was doing the Three Stooges thing and telling the third baseman to come run to home.
Yeah, I love that. It's too good.
Anyway, so we get to the location, and like, it's one of these things where this is where the address would be, but there is no house there with that address, right? Like, this is the 5900 block of Acoma Street, and this is where 5923 would be, but there's, you know, there's two houses, a 5920 and a 5930. Yeah. And so I'm like, I look, and basically the guy in the passenger seat, the one who told me that they were all deaf, has kind of been my communicator. And he, you know, pointed Stitch and said, you know, thumbs up. Like, I like your Stitch. I have a Stitch bobblehead in the car.
Yeah.
And he's like commented on that. So I kind of look at him and I say, this is where it's telling me to drop you off. And I do the shrug thing, like, is this what you want? And he's like, yes. He's saying, this is good. You know, pointing down his palm, thumbs up, this is good. Pointing down, this is good.
Yeah.
So they hop out, they grab their luggage, and immediately I get another ride. I'm like, all right. Oh, God, I feel weird leaving this neighborhood. At least it's a good neighborhood.
Sure.
But I feel weird leaving this neighborhood. And so I start driving off, and I'm heading towards the other ride. And the way this ride is taking me, basically, I have to go into this cul-de-sac, do a U-turn, and then come back. So I'm going to drive right by them again. Mm. And I drive by them again, and they're all on their phones. And they're all, I'm sure, trying to
shit.
Where they are. And I'm like, crap. Well, I know they'll be able to get another ride because there are other drivers out right now. If this is not where they need to be, or maybe they're calling the person and saying, hey, this is where the address you gave us, and it's wrong or whatever. But I'm like, oh, crap. I feel... like, it was another one of those tennis ball dog situations where it's like, do I cancel the other ride and see if I can help them? Or they're good. They probably have it all squared away. They're probably all set.
Yeah. So, that's hard, though. I would have been like, oh, crap. Because you could tell they were like, this isn't here. Maybe they're waiting for you to leave. So there'd be like a Harry Potter style door would open up.
they're gonna turn and run into the fence and just disappear into 5923 and a half platform.
Oh, that's funny. That's a journey you guys took. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, obviously your heart was in the right place, and that's more important than anything.
It was. Yeah, I feel like it's funny because after I had them, I had another deaf passenger in the car yesterday, and she was able to kind of communicate on the same level as Marley Matlin, where you're like, oh, okay, I can understand what she's saying. It's apparent that she's deaf, but I can understand what she's telling.
Sure.
She's like, yeah, I talk into my phone. I'm not talking to you right now unless you want me to. And I'm like, oh, no, you're fine. Just let me know if you need anything. But she's like using her phone to communicate, and so she's yelling into her phone.
Wow. Quite the trip, but they're probably good now. They found their way. Everything's fine.
We hope.
You know?
Definitely, yeah. And if you guys have a recommendation, I see September says there's a translation app for ASL. Definitely want to get that. I would love to, you know, at the very least, I took a nice Argentinian lady yesterday, and and she didn't speak any English. Her son texted for the ride and said, "You're picking up my mother. She doesn't speak any English." And I said, "Oh, no problem at all." But he didn't say what language she did speak. So as we're driving, I've got the AC on, and you know, she's an older lady, so I care about this sort of thing. I turn to her and I go, "Cold, warm, warm, more AC, cold." And she's like, "I'm good." And I looked like, I think she saw my reaction to that. I said, "Oh," and she says, no English. I said, "Oh, okay. Spanish, Espanol." She's like, "See," like, "Oh," she's like, "Argentina." I'm like, "Oh, bien. Okay. Bien."
Yeah.
That's all. You know, I know some Spanish, but I know it's not a one for one thing. I know Argentina is not just straight up Spanish 101 from high school. It's a different language, but it's all Latin based. So
the thing that just happened to you, that sounds like things I've only seen in movies where somebody is sure they're like walking up, people trying to do all the understand, and then they answer in English. That's funny. That's great. Oh, no. That's amazing.
Thanks. Why do you ask? I'm like, "Oh, your effing son."
Your son led me down a path. All right.
Your son told me. Your son said no English. Yeah, no English. All right, fine.
That's whatever. Funny. Well, good banner weekend for lifting.
So bottom line, what I was saying is I'd like to be able to know, you know, in the most common 10 languages, things like hello, goodbye, yes, no, thank you, too cold, too hot. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would be a good one.
You want water?
Are you sure this is where you want me to let you out?
Yeah. You want a new radio, different songs? You know, that kind of stuff?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not that far from you just saying that out loud and your phone immediately saying it after.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So it's probably coming sooner than later.
Exactly.
All right then. What a lift. It's a lifting weekend, everyone. We had a lift. It is. And it was a good story. Let's find out now what Dunaway is doing with his life. Hey, Brian Dunaway, welcome to Half Asses. What are you doing with your life?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Well, I hadn't thought about it, but I guess nothing. Thanks for the reminder.
You got that Brian has allergies voice today. How are your allergies doing? Fall allergies?
It's fine. Actually, I took a Mucinex earlier, so now everything is getting loosened up, and I gotta get it out of my throat.
Yeah, I understand. Feel free to hork it up on the air. We don't care. We have
no problem
here.
It definitely will. If it comes up, I'll bring it up.
Good. Bring up that Saluga.
Got out the most. Yeah. The TMS edition.
So it wasn't never mind.
Dunaway, welcome. We're going to play a game, as you know, and Brian here's got these here rules and what we're supposed to do and all that, so yeah, tell them all about it.
Yeah, take notes, everybody. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and 6 possible answers. 3 of those answers are correct. 3 of them are much like my American Sign Language experience, total bullshit. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get 1 right, gets a point. Guess 2 right and get them both, gets 3 points. And all 3 correct gets you 5 points. Player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And we've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you are playing for Corey in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, that's a nice place. There. Yeah. You got me to say you were just there, weren't you?
Yeah. I did not meet Corey. Corey, what's the deal? You knew I was going to Savannah. Why didn't you say, come on, let's meet for a drink? Brian, you're going to be playing for Chris in Florida. Chris Crandall sounds like what Floridans refer to as Santa Claus.
Yep. Hope you get your presents from Chris Crandall this year.
Chris Crandall. He wears Bermuda shorts. Yeah, and not much else.
Go to sleep, Cletus. Chris Crandall.
I don't know why this is the Florida voice.
It's the Florida voice.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are doing Jersey voices for Florida.
I don't know, but we deal with a lot of Gators. Yeah. A lot of Gators.
All right, let's get to it here.
Miami did great yesterday, breaking some records. Go Florida.
Yes, they did. They could have, if they would have taken that last field goal, they were in field goal range, and they just basically graced Denver the ball. Yeah. But they could have actually broken the record instead of just tying.
That's
the
not
record.
What you. That's not good sportsmanship. You don't rub that in. You don't want that on the morning
yes
news
and
the next
no
day.
Don't you want to be the player that's on the?
Absolutely, you want to be the player. Ever. But mm-hmm. you're thinking about the opponents here. You know, they're like around what, like 20 something, and you're like yeah. like up at 70. That's rubbing it in. That's unsportsmanlike.
I don't know. I think you just
if they were at 60 and you were at 70, I'd say go for it.
Sure, sure.
You're right, there to win. Just win. You know, take them.
Yeah,
they're all $1 million. I don't feel bad for it. Now, if you're talking about a bunch of little kids, 8-year-olds playing junior league football sure. or something, fine. Because now you're dealing with developing young human beings. And there's no real money on the table. These are people with $30 million yearly contracts. F them. Go ahead and get the extra points.
Yeah, F them. They don't have any feelings. F them. They haven't done this their whole life. F them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I feel like if it's kids, the last thing you want to do is have a 70-20 game.
You would have stopped that game way before.
Lot of rules
to
save some kids' self-esteem for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, do that. Yeah. That makes sense. These guys are adults. Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're
let them get that record. Yeah. I'm just glad that that our team could help Miami achieve that goal. So good.
Nice. Good job. Way to go, Denver.
Yeah. All righty. Let's give you your questions. First question is, if only you could phone a friend and ask Patrick about this. French soft drinks. Three of these are actual French soft drinks. Three of these are fake. Mecca Cola, Coye Sabon, Genie, Mademoiselle Pop. Shit and boisson.
These all sound like bullshit.
Yeah, they all sound like bullshit. Yeah, yes. That shit, for those of you listening, is spelled PSCHITT exclamation point.
Yep, silent P, baby. Shit. Like shit. Like psychology or anything else, you know.
Echo. Shit.
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 Like that.
That's the best clip ever.
Shit.
Best clip of shit we ever did.
All right, you guys are both locked in. Let's see. You guys all selected five different things.
Oh, good.
And the funny thing is,
you
selected one of the real ones, which is shit.
Really? I was convinced you just said it's going to be it just made you
shit. Your real ones are Mecca Cola, Genie, and shit. The other ones were all made up, and those happen to be the three of the five you chose.
Wow.
I felt the Coley said, but that felt wrong. Interesting. Yes. Okay.
By the way, those other ones, let's see. Poisson, by the way, means fish drink. Coye Sabot, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, is glue hoof.
Glue hoof.
Glue hoof.
Sounds one of the beers you didn't like this weekend. Glue hoof.
Yes. Oh, this tastes like glue hoof. That's all right. We're going into round two with 0 points. Let's get some points this round. This time it's animals whose pregnancies last longer than 1 year. So when you get pregs, this is lasting longer than a year.
I'm working on it.
If you're right. Three of these six animals, your choices are sea lion, sloth, hippopotamus, orca, rhinoceros, and camel. Three of those have a gestation period that is longer than a year.
Jeez.
That just feels right.
What feels right? You picked that one. None of these feel right. I don't know what feels
right. Well, only one feels right. All the rest of them are questionable.
Let's see. I'm going here two of these. I don't know.
Okay. All right. You both locked in. You both locked in with Orca. Orca's just
the killer whale. Period.
Yeah. 495 days. Definitely longer than a year. You also both locked in on hippopotamus. Hippopotamus gestation is only 237 days, less than a year. Nice. Your answers were orca, rhinoceros, and camel.
It was all right answers. Come on, sloth. Come on, Scott. That seemed like
sloths,
the right answer.
I know,
right?
But that's why that felt like a trick, because everyone knows sloths are slow. So I was like, that's not going to be it. No
can't
way.
Can't be. Hunter, it was actually, of all six of these, sloths actually have the shortest gestation period, which is 100.
And now I can't stop imagining how sloths do it. Go ahead.
No, nice and slow.
183 days, so like about 6 months.
Why the rush?
495, rhinoceros 450, and camel 390 days.
I
Camel would have been.
I did check on.
Yeah.
Camel, surprising. I checked on hippopotamus, but I was thinking rhinoceros. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I'm surprised by the camel just because it's not a giant animal. The ones that are big animals, those make sense to me.
Hippo right. makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It takes longer to make, right?
Yeah. How long was rhinoceros, did you say, the rhino?
Rhinoceros was 450 days.
Jeez.
And that end of that, Ace Ventura falls out, right? Isn't that how that works?
Exactly right. He crawls his way out and says, all righty then.
Yep, and they're horny the whole time. Get it? Horny? Because I got a horn?
Because they have a horn, you see.
You see what we did there?
All right. I'll be here all week. Into the last question with 0 points, so... The final question strategies are in play. Mm. And speaking of the NFL, name three of these cities that never had an NFL team. Six cities, three of them never had an NFL team.
NFL team.
Your choices are Allentown, Pennsylvania, Columbus, Ohio, Akron, Ohio, Canton, Ohio, San Antonio, Texas, and Fresno, California.
I feel like I should know this, but I'm pretty sure I don't.
cities and Denver feels like it still doesn't have a football.
Right.
I'm choosing two.
I don't know. Oh, Scott's all locked in already. Okay, wait, there we go. I'm all locked in now. Ready to lose. Right. Ready to lose.
Awesome. All right. You guys together have chosen Canton, Columbus, and Akron. Canton had the Bulldogs from 1920 to 1926.
Shit. Wow. You didn't know that, Scott? Jeez, come on. You didn't know about the 20s Bulldogs? Jeez.
Columbus had the Panhandles and the Tigers from 1920 to 1926. And Akron had a team called the Pros from 1920 to 1926. The three you did not choose, Allentown, San Antonio, and Fresno, were the actual Astros.
Allentown. Damn it.
Fresno, I thought, had something. I don't know why I thought that. I didn't choose it.
I can't believe you don't know your 1920s NFL team, Scott.
Yeah, what's wrong with me and my horrible knowledge of 20s football?
Let's see. Since the last one of you to choose, you both chose Orca. Let's see. You each chose one correctly in the French.
We sucked equally. We get it.
You really have sucked equally.
Right, we get it.
So, Scott, I will let Scott give the...
the home team. He's the home team. Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
At their most distant, this is your tiebreaker, obviously.
Right.
At their most distant, how many minutes does it take a radio signal to go from Earth to Mars? So you're doing a podcast. You're sending it via radio to... Mark Watney up there making his shit potatoes on Mars. Mm. How long after you hit submit does Mark Watney get to hear the sultry sounds of core?
Okay. Well, and is it a multiple?
What was the measure of unit again? What was it again?
Minutes.
Okay, minutes.
All right. How many minutes?
And how? And you don't give me multiple selection here. I just have to.
No, you have to.
Higher low.
You guess
the number. Then I go high low.
Okay, we're doing high low. Here we go. It's a lot slower than light, so I'm going to say 20 days.
That's too many.
How many minutes? Is it minutes, though?
It's minutes. How many minutes?
90 minutes.
That's too many.
I have no idea. I'll just say 90. No idea.
90 minutes. That is incorrect. Brian, is the actual answer higher or lower than 90 minutes?
I'm going lower than that.
It is lower.
Damn it.
Is 24 minutes. It takes 1.3 seconds to radio the moon, but 24 minutes to radio Mars, which means congratulations going out to Chris Crandall in Florida. Chris, you're going to be getting a copy of Detached, the non-VR edition, and Little Orpheus on Steam. Both of those games on Steam, courtesy of Racer951Y. But don't worry, Corey, in Savannah, Georgia, you're getting XEL also on Steam.
Nice.
And so not S-E-X, S-E-L. Don't get excited.
XEL.
XEL. Okay.
Maybe it's pronounced Excel. I don't know. That's probably what's going on, is it's pronounced Excel.
So it takes radio exactly one 90s average sitcom.
Pretty much exactly. Yes.
That's wild. With commercials, of course, or else, you know.
Right. So just a small delay. Small delay. No big deal.
No big deal.
A little time shifting. Yeah, you got it. No problem.
I wish we could move at the speed of radio waves. That'd be cool.
Well, yeah.
You know, we're always talking about light speed and conquering that. Let's start with radio speed. Let's see if we can
kind of do that, right?
Yeah. I want to get to Mars in 24 minutes. That'd be awesome.
Oh, it'd be terrific.
So would Elon Musk. All right, Brian, you get one of these. I get one of these. and our listeners both win games, which is the important thing. Dunaway, you know, having you here, it's like a, it's like having, I don't know, a little extra chicken next to your heart. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. That's disturbing. Why would you have chicken next to your
fresh,
heart?
Chicken? Or?
Right? You mean like, I mean like on the outside of your body? You're talking about like going like right next to it. Like
it made me. Veins? So the reason I'm thinking of it is Nate Bargatze was doing a stand-up thing. His Prime stand-up special, by the way, is incredible. It's good. So good.
Good.
But he talks about how he can, he worries about silly stuff, and he talks about how he thinks about when food is behind his heart, and he can tell that it's there.
Oh. Yeah.
So he's
yeah.
like, if he eats a bite of something, he can tell when it's in its journey. Like,
when it's going by his heart.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing to get fixated on. It's a very funny bit, though. You guys should check it out.
Really he's great. He's a lot of fun. Yeah. He's a lot of fun. I can see that. But I was worried, like, maybe you swallowed a whole egg and you thought it was going to, like, hatch in your heart or something. I didn't.
Sure. Oh, that's weird. I don't like that.
Like a watermelon seed. You don't want to do that.
No.
You get a watermelon in your belly.
No.
Listen, Brian, it's an egg. Treat it like an egg.
Treat it like an egg, Brian. Yeah, like a baseball. Bye now. All right, he's gone. He didn't even get a chance to say no you.
He didn't get to do no you. Wow.
Yeah, which I am perfectly fine with. Now, people. Oh, you know what? It's time for a break. I didn't realize we were that close to the hour.
Oh, are we really? Oh, I should probably get our song together.
Let's see. You do that real quick, and okay. I'll... You know what? We'll do one story. We can do one. We'll do one news story. Here you go.
Okay.
It's time for a quick bit of news brought to you by...
Amy Robinson and her awesome YouTube channel. Watch and learn how to throw clay and put cool stuff in the kiln and make it hot stuff. Get it at Red Fraggle 3 on YouTube today.
Highly recommend doing that. She's great. She is. We'll hear from her in a week or so. Brain-altering parasite turns ants into zombies at dawn and dusk. Oh, no.
Dawn and dusk. I see what they did there.
Yeah, I see what they did as well. Although, during the rest of the day, it should be mentioned they're just fine.
Oh, it really is dawn and dusk. Like, it's dawn of the ant zombies and dusk of the ant zombies.
Exactly.
But every other rest of the time, they're fine zombies.
Just regular old ants doing ant things. Imagine coming to jaws gripping the top of a swaying blade of grass, unaware of how you got there. That's how it works for a lot of ants. The reality for ants infected with the Lancet liver fluke. All right. Lancet liver fluke was my finishing move for most of my wrestling career. A tiny parasitic flatworm, liver flukes have a complicated, almost insanely conceived life cycle, which begins with the hijacking of the ant's brain. The unsuspecting ant climbs up and clamps into powerful jaws into the top blades of grass, making it more likely to be eaten by grazers such as cattle or deer. Researchers from the University of Copenhagen's Department of Plant and Environmental Sciences have discovered that the parasite's ability to control the ant is even more cunning than previously believed. Impressively, the parasite can even get the ant to crawl back down the blade of grass when it gets too hot. Isn't this isn't there a cat thing like this? But there's a thing where there's something in a cat's leavings or something that if a certain like mice get into it, now the mice is a controllable thing by the parasite it got from the cat litter.
Did you
or something.
Just watch Ratatouille?
I swear this is real. No, Ratatouille.
Maybe. This I've never heard of, like a little parasite that can control mice who eat cat poop.
Yeah, it's something like that, or maybe it's their urine or something. There's something like that too. Anyway, don't get brain controlling amoebas.
Avoid those.
Avoid those if you can. All right. That's really the story. That's it. That's the news.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher will be here. He is going to regale us with some nerdy news. And it's been a bit, so we're excited to talk to him. Before that, a song from Brian. Brian, take it away.
This is what the movie Parasite is about. You should watch it.
Oh, really
big thanks to the Syndicate for sending me this one. A band called Illiterate Light. I tried Illiterate. It was just too heavy for me. I needed, so I switched over to Illiterate Light. They have a brand new EP that just came out this last Friday. They're a Virginia-based duo. They're going to be touring all through 2023, so make sure you check it out. And this EP is listed on Spin's Best Albums of 2023 so far. Rave reviews also from Consequence of Sound, NPR, Washington Post. So check these guys out. You're about to check these guys out. The band is made up of Jeff Gorman and Jake Cochran. This brand new EP is called Aloe, A-L-O-E. Here is the first single from the album. It's called Always, Always. The band is Illiterate Light.
Come on. like no one I'd ever met. Let's both cut bangs. You go Goldie, I'll go Barbie, and we'll shave my legs. Oh my God, I think I'm living in a dream. This girl's insane, but she's exactly what I needed. Catch you looking, I catch you looking. Smile back, now we're cooking.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, y'all. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/morningstream. Look, we've all had times in our lives where, you know, thoughts are keeping you up. Having one of those moments right now, in fact. A lot going on in the extended family life here at the Johnson Clan. And, I don't know, harder to sleep. That sort of thing, right? Brain starts racing. It's really hard. Well, it turns out, one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a place to do all of that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. Whether or not you've been to a therapy session or not, personally, let me tell you, there are all kinds of benefits to doing so, all right? Learning positive coping skills, how to set your own boundaries, kind of find out who you are, I guess, you know, and what your role is within your social groups and your family dynamics and that sort of stuff. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which is great because that's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You don't have to worry about traffic, all that stuff. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/morningstream today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, spelled H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/morningstream. Do it today.
My name's Sylvia, and I'd like to welcome you and your family to Sylvia's Mop Bucket.
You need to get your ass to rehab.
And we've returned. Who was that one more time?
Sure. That band is Illiterate Light from their brand new EP called Aloe. That's the song Always, Always.
They should do a collaboration album with Vera, you know?
Yeah.
Aloe.
They should.
Vera.
Aloe. Vera.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Let's dive into some Steven time, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Some quality Steven time. That's
I like that idea a lot.
It's always quality, so I don't even have to say them. It's like ATM machine. Just leave off the machine. Here we go. Let's play this.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, look who it is. Steven Schleicher joining us, as he does here every other Monday, to talk about all things major spoilers and nerdy topics in movies, comics, and more. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey, man.
Hello.
How goes the fall quarter, the fall semester? How you doing?
It's going okay. This week is homecoming week, so I'm being nice to the students and not making them do very much.
Mm. Are there you guys have a big what's the sports world like? And is there like a is there like a big homecoming events and all that kind of stuff on the college level?
Yeah, so this is also in, for many people, Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
So we have Oktoberfest activities coinciding with homecoming, and it's both the high school homecoming and the university homecoming. So a lot of activities going on this week.
All right. And you don't have to chaperone anything, right? You're good.
God, I hope not. I asked my oldest. I was like, so are you going to the homecoming dance? Are you, you know, are you taking anyone? Do we need to get anything? Because, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. And last year, my wife had to scramble to try to find a corsage for him to give to his date.
Oh,
and
man.
He's just like, well, I don't know.
Wow. God. Not a lot has changed, it turns out, since my high school days. That's a lot of the answers I gave. Wow. Well, we're glad to have you here. One of my favorite things in comic books, which is a huge part of what Major Spoilers is all about, has been the Fables series. And I have some friends who did art in there. Our pal Steve Hammaker did some stuff in there. And always a good read, always wonderful stuff. Well, there's now news that this stuff is going public domain. What does that actually mean? Can I remix it and use
man,
it?
This is so... Okay, so first of all, for those of you that don't know, Fables is a story about, you know, your grim fairy tales type characters, your Snow Whites, your Big Bad Wolves, your Cinderellas. They have all migrated from the realm of fairy tales to New York City as refugees. And they have created an enclave in New York City. And they are trying to protect themselves from the big bad of the story arc. And they're trying to keep their group secluded and away from the normies that we know. So this has been going on for 20 years, something like that. Close to it, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's been written by Bill Willingham. And so some people will say, ooh, Bill Willingham, he does have some politics that are extreme. And so some people are just like, well, I don't care what happens about this. But I think the more interesting thing is how this works with copyright. So first of all, a lot of the characters that he uses are already in public domain. In fact, I think all of them are in public domain.
Right.
When he created Fables, he retained control of all of the rights to everything with Fables, and he shares it with DC Comics back when it was under the Vertigo imprint. Well, since the Fables started, there have been changes in management, changes in ownership, changes in fact, Vertigo Comics doesn't even exist anymore, right?
Right.
And for years, apparently, Willingham has had a lot of trouble with the lawyers with trying to say, hey, you guys, you didn't contact me when Telltale Games did the Big Bad Wolf video game, and I was supposed to be a part of that, and you owe me a lot of money. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that you didn't have that, you own the copyright on all this stuff, blah blah blah, here's some money.
Yeah, that was the Wolf Among Us game from Telltale, right? That was the game.
Right
Yeah, okay. Love that game. Oh my gosh, so
yeah, a lot of people did, and that may be one of the reasons why there was never a sequel to that game, because of this particular fiasco. There have been times where many people might remember the ABC series, what was it called, Once Upon a Time, that when that series came out, everyone was like, wait a minute, isn't this just like Fables? And how come Bill Willingham and everyone else involved in Fables isn't getting paid anything? And it's because Disney's like skirting the line very closely to try to make it as close to Fables, but not Fables. And so this has been going on since the beginning. And because Willingham has refused to sign a essentially you're a contract writer for this series, when you're a contracted writer, work for hire, then, you know, DC would own all of the rights to that series, as opposed to Willingham. And sure. So he's gone back and forth over this for years. For the last, I want to say, 6 months, Fables has been delayed. In fact, the most recent issue was supposed to come out in April of this year. It has now been pushed until way late October, and more than likely it will be pushed again. And a lot of this has to do with who controls this title. And so finally, Bill Willingham just threw up his hands, and on September 15th of this year, 10 days ago, said, hey, Fables, all the Fables spinoffs, all the characters, I declare them to be in public domain, which once was owned wholly by me is now owned by everyone for all time. That's how copyright works. Mm. And he goes into his examples about how he can't afford to sue DC and all of their lawyers, how he's been screwed around by DC for a long time. He even goes into some very interesting thoughts about the nature of copyright, which I'm not a lawyer, but copyright is really messed up. One of the interesting things that I thought was going to happen before this year was that Disney was going to try to extend the Sonny Bono Copyright Act, aka the Mickey Mouse Copyright Act, indefinitely. But they haven't, probably because Disney has become so politicized, and because of certain political parties trying to vilify Disney, that they haven't gone back to Congress to try to change copyright laws, which means Steamboat Willie actually goes into public domain January 1st, 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's coming up. I can't wait to make my I'm going to do a whole series on Steamboat Willie. Can't wait. I'm so excited.
I mean, and you certainly can, although Disney has come out and said, hey, wait, we still own the trademark to all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So be careful what you do. But if you want to, Scott, if you want to go and put Steamboat Willie up on your YouTube channel, Disney isn't going to say anything to you.
You know what I'm going to do?
January 1st.
I'm doing Tugboat Billy is what I'm going to do.
There you go. Yeah.
Perfect.
Tugboat Billy. Watch for it. Coming soon. Real quick here, I noticed there is a second Wolf Among Us game in production. It is supposed to release in 2024. However, all of that seems to have a ton of caveat around it because of this situation.
Yeah, like, and I'm sure it's probably using the Unity engine or something too.
No, in this case, it's using Telltale's proprietary thing. But now that Telltale's back, the reason that it's been this long is that first game came out in like 2013 or something. The reason it's been this long is because Telltale went defunct for a while there. They were gone. Then they were absorbed by, Embracer Group, I think, owns them. They're in trouble these days anyway. But anyway, brought them back to life. They did an amazing run here recently for that Expanse game. It's very good. I played it. So I have really high hopes for this, and I love its source material. I love what they did with the Big Bad Wolf and how the whole thing just subverts all of our knowledge of what fairy tales are. It's really, really good stuff. But boy, you sure hate to see it all, you know, tangled up like this.
Well, so this could actually be a big thing, because the way Bill Willingham is releasing this into the public domain, it means that Scott Johnson, if you want to create a comic book series using the Big Bad Wolf, who is a detective in New York City, and does these things, you can do it. And you don't have to, I put this in quotes, you don't have to worry about DC Comics coming after you, because it's now in public domain.
Interesting.
And again, keep in mind that the Big Bad Wolf has been in public domain for forever, right?
Right.
So you, if you want to write a Big Bad Wolf story, go right ahead. But if you want to use specifically the characters as depicted in the Fables comic, now you have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But so that means that if you want to make a movie, if you want to make a cartoon, a comic book strip, whatever you want to do, go for it. There are some caveats, though.
Hmm. What are those?
First one is, Mark Buckingham created all the art for that. Yeah. And all of that stuff is all still owned by DC. So really, you could take the text from all of the Fables comics and create your own art for that and then release your own Fables comic. But as long as it doesn't look anything like, well, providing that DC has done trademark on any of those characters, which I'm guessing they have not.
Yeah.
But what you cannot do is just take the comic and just, redistribute it, recopy it like you can with a Mark Twain book and not have to worry about any kind of a lawsuit. DC has responded and they say that the comic books and graphic novels published by DC and the storylines and the characters and the elements are all owned by DC and protected under copyright law, which, if you open up the front cover of any of the Fables books, it says the copyright is co-owned by Bill Willingham and DC Comics. DC reserves the right to take such action as it sees fit to protect its intellectual property rights. So here's the thing. I think Bill Willingham, because he doesn't want to hire a bunch of lawyers and deal with this headache himself, he has just turned it around and put it all on DC and is creating a headache for them. Because now if DC really wants to maintain the copyright, maintain their trademark, because you can't copyright a title,
right?
You can trademark a title. So I could go and create a book called Fables, and DC couldn't come after me for that.
Right.
But if they really are serious about what they say, that means if you and Brian and me and Drenched Wildfire and Chris and Graham Ellis and all these other people that are in the chat, if we all went out and did our own version of Fables and DC wanted to sue us, that's a lot of time, hassle, effort, and energy that has to be put in suing 20 people, 100 people, a million people around the world.
Yeah, you got
to
overwhelm them like ants versus the grasshoppers and Bug's Life. Same idea, right?
Exactly, right, exactly. So I think more than anything, he's created the headache for DC to try to defend this.
Yeah.
Now, granted, all this stuff is going to eventually end up into copyright or into public domain anyway. Willingham has just pushed that nuclear option and done it already. So, hey, congratulations, listeners. Go out and create your own Fables stories. Sweet. And DC can't do anything about you, asterisk.
Yeah, good news is that means the game can go forward. So because I think this that lifts that cloud. They don't have to worry about it. It's their own artwork. Providing
that DC doesn't want to try and sue them, although I'm sure DC has already worked it out with them to do this. But now maybe they can say, well, we don't owe you any money, DC Comics, because this is in public domain.
Yeah, you're right, though, that they become a big red target because it's a big, huge version of this that stands to make millions of dollars. And so if they are going to go after anyone, they may not care about what you, me and Brian and half the chat room make. But that's the problem.
If you want to maintain it, you have to keep going after people on this, whether it's a trademark, whether it's a copyright or anything, because if people start essentially referring to it in a vernacular like we do aspirin or Kleenex or is making a Xerox copy of something, you can lose that trademark or that copyright on those ideas and comments if you don't defend them. This is why even if you try to do something with parody, Coca-Cola will come after you with a cease and desist if you want to use the Coca-Cola type font or type colors, or if you try to create a fat Batman or a fat Wolverine.
Yep.
More than likely you're going to hear from DC or Marvel and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, we realize that this is parody, but we can also sue you into oblivion.
Yeah. Thankfully, like around 05, 06, 07 in that range is when I did those fat things and got the takedown notices. I feel like in 2023 and a lot of time since those days, you could do it. Like they benefit from people doing fan art now and fan art.
They do.
I would never get that cease and desist. There's just no way. Like it's like they've never been to a con before or whatever. They go after the bigger fish. And if they go after enough bigger fish, then, they get to fight their fight and maintain their copyright and all that. But They wouldn't do that to
so,
me.
So, depends. Is Scott Johnson a big fish? Some people might say, yes, Scott Johnson is a big fish. No. And so there might be something to go after you about. Technically, when you go to a comic book convention, if you are selling sketches or art that you're drawing of these copyrighted characters, you're supposed to let the publishers know, and you're supposed to pay a fee. In fact, if you go to like the Star Wars events, the D20 events, Brian, and you see somebody who's an artist there who's doing sketches, they have to keep track of how many sketches they create, who they are, and then at the end of the day, they're supposed to report that and pay a fee to Disney/Lucasfilm to be able to stay there at the show. So it's, technically, you're supposed to do it.
Similar to cover songs, where you keep track of how many times you play a certain song or how many downloads of that episode you have, and then you report so that they know. Oh, okay, the episode with this Prince cover was downloaded 15,000 times. You owe us 42 cents or something like that.
Yeah, makes sense. So it's going to be interesting, and I love seeing it. I mean, here's the only company that I've really ever seen fully embrace what fans are doing is George Lucas with Star Wars. Years before he sold Lucasfilm to Disney, he was like, "I love fan films. Keep making fan films. In fact, here's assets so you can incorporate this stuff into your fan films. Please make fan films." In fact, Lucasfilm for years used to have a fan film festival. After Disney bought it, they kind of stopped doing that.
Weird. It's almost like the most litigious entertainment company in the world got a hold of the rights. That's weird.
And that's why I'm so surprised. For like 5 years now, I've been saying, watch out for 2022, 2023. Disney's going to try to extend copyright, and they haven't done anything about it.
Yeah.
And Steamboat Willie drops in public domain on January 1. So it'll be interesting. And then, of course, that means that in a few more years, we're going to see Snow White enter public domain, Alice in Wonderland enter public domain.
Yeah.
Bambi, all of that stuff will start rolling out over the next 20 years into public domain. And I really want to see how Disney responds to that, because maybe they don't care about Steamboat really, even though they do use him as the lead into every single movie that they release.
Right. That whole little black and white.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I can't wait then. Just a few years, I'll be able to have my own broom that can carry buckets of water up and down the stairs for me. It'll be nice. Yeah,
be careful, though, Brian. Be careful.
Yeah, never.
That stuff never goes out of control. No. Are you kidding me?
No. If Fantasia 1 or 2 taught us anything, nothing bad happens when you start messing around with the dark magic. Real quick here, I saw there's a little bit of a gear shift, but Van and I were watching. We had him most of the weekend. My daughter's anniversary. A lot going on around here. And he hung around, and the baby as well, but he was like, "I want to watch Spidey," and I'm like, "Is he just talking Spider-Man? Like, what does he mean?"
He's probably talking about the young kids Spider-Man. I don't think it's called Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, but it's essentially that.
Yeah, it's Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Right, it's the one with little Gwen, Stacy, Spider Gwen, and little Miles Morales.
Everybody's super young kids. Even like the villains, like Green Goblin, is kind of a 10-year-old
chibi.
Just running around doing stuff, and most of it is the villains are mostly stealing things and not being nice. Like it's not. they're not doing big crimes.
They don't want to unleash a toxic gas over Manhattan.
Yeah. And I started watching it and I went, I don't think this is great. I think it kind of panders to kids. But I'll tell you, after watching about 10 episodes of this thing with him, I actually kind of got hooked on it. It's pretty good.
It's much better than Cats. I'm going to keep watching it again.
It keeps happening. The Hulk will show up, Brian, once in a while. The latest season had Iron Man show up, and Ms. Marvel shows up a lot. And they all use their powers that they have, right? But they do it in this very aimed at like 3-year-olds kind of.
It's really aimed.
But it's not Spider-Man His Amazing Friends. That's the one from the 80s with Firestar.
It's Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Spidey and His Amazing Friends. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not at all confusing.
I think
if you're if your kids are a fan of Paw Patrol or Bluey, and you want to kind of get them into the comic book stuff, Spidey and His Amazing Friends kind of falls right into that area. I can't get my kids to watch it because they're all too old.
And there's no way this would appeal to their age group. But I can tell you, after seeing it enough, I think they got a little something going on here. It's actually pretty great. I enjoy it.
Okay.
And they're really like the Doc Ock lady that's the daughter of Octavius?
Mm-hmm. Spider-Verse.
She's the Doc Ock in this. Like, they do a lot of under-the-radar stuff that only hardcore Marvel fans might recognize, but it's just there. They just do it that way. Like, it's not Captain Marvel. It's Ms. Marvel and her huge hands and feet. And, you know, they go for stuff that's, like, a little more, like, knowing. You know, if you know the Marvel Universe right now, then you would know who these characters are. Mm-hmm. Your average four-year-old is going to watch it and go, I don't know. That guy's green.
Well, now I can't remember of the name of the series. This would have been like 10 or 12 years ago when my youngest was 3 or 4. There was a Marvel animated series that was kind of like this, maybe geared just a little bit older, but they loved the heck out of that.
That was the Avengers story. One, right?
That was the Avengers one. Yeah. That one was really good. So
it was actually really good. Yeah,
you might want to see if you can track that down. Maybe on Disney Plus.
Was it Chibi? I mean, there's what?
It was Super kind of Avengers. In that style.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these are like, it's also interesting because Aunt May is still Aunt May. And she looks like the Marissa Tomei Aunt May. And she's young and whatever, like you might imagine. But the show assumes that all the Uncle Ben shit happened. But at what point in Peter's life where he's like, he's literally like 5 years old in this thing. Right. Like they really skip over a lot of stuff to make it work for kids. But I don't know. It's nice. We had fun. And he is freaking hooked on it. He loves it. Anyway, side note. Well, there you go. Steven, tell us anything else happening over the Major Spoilers Network so people can find it and get it and have it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to promote a comic book really quick. If you are a fan of Conan the Barbarian, Jim Zub is doing a new Conan series for Titan Comics, which is a European comic company. It is fantastic. If you love the 70s Conan that Marvel was doing, this is straight up tapping into that whole vibe. And it is fantastic. Issue number 3 comes out this week, and I would suggest everybody go and track that down.
I love Jim Zub. I love old Conan. I want old Conan to be all Conan. And I don't mean like the Schwarzenegger stuff. I mean like the old comics, the old books, really, are so brutal. And like, I don't know, they really are their own thing. They're so good.
So yeah, this is a good series. People need to go check it out. The artist on this series is Roberto De La Torre, I believe is his last name is pronounced. But it's a great series, and people need to go check that out.
All right.
It's cool. You're talking about the old Conan with the Frank Frazetta covers and stuff.
That kind of just brutal, like freaking bloody, awesome skeletons hanging down on everything. Oh, so excited. All right. I didn't even know that was a thing. Steven, you've done it again. Thank you for that.
There you go. All right, man. Stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah. Do that. Stay hydrated, everyone. We'll see you later.
Have those brooms carry some water up to you and stay hydrated.
I almost made you group owner. All right. There you go. Now you're right. I've done that before where I made a guest group owner, and that was a mistake because then trying to wrestle Discord group owner ownership out of somebody's hands, not easy. It'll make it simple. I mean, Steven would have cooperated. I'm not that worried.
Yeah, of course. He would be like, it's mine now. I'm taking it forever.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done that. We have a quick phone call from Gabby I'd like to play.
Cool.
Yay. And I'm pretty sure Gabby texted us on FilmSack as well. So Gabby's had a busy week. This is Gabby calling about Dark Winds, a show I recommended on Recommentals on Wednesday. And she has this to say.
Hi, guys. I was listening to your episode where you were recommending Dark Winds. I love that show. And it's actually based on the Tony Hillerman series, and they're so good. I loved those books. I gobbled them all up several years ago, probably like 10 or 20 years ago. And so I wonder if Amy's read those as well. Anyway, it's so great. And there's a bunch of people that are in both Reservation Dogs and Dark Winds, so it's a really nice crossover. I just binged both of those shows, and they're so good. All the seasons of both of those shows, love them. Anyway. Love the show, though. Bye.
Super into that. I like Hillerman a lot, but I don't know if I've... what's the last book I read from his? Probably Sacred Clowns. Something in the 80s. Yeah, that was it. Sacred Clowns. That was a weird one. Anyway, yeah, that's great to hear. And I'll check that other show out. But Dark Winds, rad. Super rad. I am sad, though, because I thought they put both Season 1 and 2 on Max. They just put Season 1. They want me to go up. AMC Plus subscription.
They do, apparently. Yeah.
Those bastards. So I may have to do that because I really like that show a lot.
Yeah. I think we do still have AMC Plus, and I'm trying to figure out why I didn't get rid of it. Oh, because for us, it was bundled with something else, and we're waiting until we finish. I can't remember.
think it was Showtime, AMC Plus and Showtime. Mm. And then we're going to get all that stuff through T-Mobile when we switch, or at least Showtime through T-Mobile. Oh, I can't remember. There's a whole convoluted thing now with we're switching phone carriers, and it's going to actually give us a bunch of channels that we now don't need to pay streaming for. And
that's how I get Max now, is through AT&T, I guess.
Yeah, but
they're the only ones I get. So if it's actually a pretty good incentive, if you say to me, hey, here's your monthly bill, but here are three streaming services you don't have to pay for anymore. It's pretty good.
I think T-Mobile is going to give us Netflix and Apple TV, although Apple TV, again, doesn't really matter to me because I get that through that combo Apple.
Right. Where you get
tithe that I make every month.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're the only one that stayed inexpensive, which is hilarious because Apple's always considered expensive. But
we're getting enough. Yeah. We're going to get enough out of you chumps with this new titanium iPhone.
That's right. Saw a video that freaked me out a little bit. Somebody easily snapping one of those phones in half, the titanium.
Oh, ones. No, really?
Yeah. I always thought the idea of titanium was that it was stronger than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, are you sure that's legit? Like, that's a total legit video?
According to some legitimate sources who are all showing it, they seem to say, but that's, you know, you're not wrong to be skeptical because that's happened before. Some people just want to make noise on the internet.
Of course.
But they just seemed a little more brittle than I would have thought. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll try to find that and send it to you. Thank you, Gabby, for that. If you want to send in your own voicemails, you can do that. 801-471-0462. You can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Or, as usual, you can text us at that number I gave you before. Real quick, thanks to everybody for joining our Patreon. Now, look, we got a few days left of this month. All right, not much. And that means perfect time to onboard. Get on here and be a part of the cheapest Patreon on the planet. All right, it's our own fault, but here we are wallowing in it. And we need your help. So join up for as low as $1 a day at patreon.com/TMS and support your favorite morning show. That is going to do it for us. Let's show this off too. Oh, look at this. Brian's
at the video. This is the Morning Stream coffee mug magnet, or you can put a put Velcro on the back of this, put it on your bag that has that Velcro thing, or just just adhere it to the front of a computer or monitor or something.
Yep.
So printing out the correct size, it'll be about 2/3 the size of this, but it'll be, it's paintable. You can paint your Scott and Brian, you can paint coffee in the mug, you can paint the mug.
Yeah, you can paint the mug.
You can paint the mug. Why don't you just paint the mug?
It's awesome. And that'll go to a couple of our higher tiers. So no reason not to hop in right now. Yep. Get in there.
Hop in.
All right, let's do a song. Do you have a little something?
Okay, I do have a song. This is actually a carryover from last week. This one is going out to Brian Hitchcock, a.k.a. Gray Malkin 13 in the various chats. He says, it's that time of year again to begin a new revolution around the sun. This year, I'm in a practical mood. I'm sorry, in a piratical mood. So I'm requesting Ailstorm's cover of Hangover. I'm sure I'll be nursing one of those on Monday, so it seems appropriate. Scott, is it too early to test the ship's beep?
No, but here's this first.
Happy birthday.
All right, you get that. Then you get, where's the beep one? Oh, did I not save it in here? I know I have it. Hold on. Is this it?
Honk.
No. Oh. That's the wrong guy. This one?
I have the chip.
Nope.
Let's test the ship's.
Where did I put the one that had the, oh, this it? No, that's not it either. I don't know where I put it, but it's a combination of those two things, and it's awesome, and you already know it.
Assemble them in your head.
Yeah.
Is what you can do.
Yeah, I'll work on that later.
Here is the band Ailstorm from their 2014 album Sunset on the Golden Age, covering Tayo Cruz's Hangover.
I got a hangover, whoa, I've been drinking too much for sure. I got a hangover, whoa, I got an empty cup, pour me some more, so I can go until they close up, hey, and I can drink until I throw up, hey. much for sure. I got a hangover. Whoa. I got an empty cup. Pour me some more. So I can go until they close up. Hey. And I can drink until I throw up. Hey. And I don't ever, ever want to grow up. Hey. I wanna keep it going. Keep, keep it going. Wanna keep it going. Keep, keep it going. Going, 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 going. I got a hangover. Whoa.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Now back to today's adventure.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Dan from lovely Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I was just listening to your show Thursday this week, and you guys were talking about step dads and parents and stuff like that. I come from the kind of other end of the spectrum there. I have a stepmom, but she pretty much raised me most of my life, so... like you were saying with your dad, that he wasn't in your life for very long before you were an adult, but, my stepmom was. So yeah, we ended up calling, we do call her mom, and she's actually pretty sensitive about being called stepmom. So using the step word, I kind of find that funny. I think the whole, Cinderella step parent thing kind of gave step parents a bad name, and all growing up watching movies of step kids, haven't always showing them having bad relationships with their step parents, but no, I had a pretty good relationship with my stepmom growing up, since we lived with her most of the time. So yeah. That's my opinion on the topic. Love the show, though, or love a hobo. Either one. All right.
Hey, Scotch and Bonnet, longtime TMS listener. I am calling today because recently I've been listening to your show so much on my morning commute and during my exercise routines that I was actually woken up in the middle of the night with an idea for one of your morning game shows. You know that show that you have in the morning, with like two or three people, game show. Anyway. So I was thinking about the great question, and my dog, of course, is poking me with her paws in the night and waking me up, and I'm trying to sleep, and it came to me that, hey, what would be a better question than what would be the question that you would ask your dog if your dog could reply in English, if your dog could actually reply? What is the one question that you would ask your dog? That's all. Love the show, though.
Hey, Scott and Brian. My name is Jeremiah, but probably know me on the chat as a art nerd. But anyways, the whole thing about Nimrod, you use the word Nimrod, and that word never used to be an insult until there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Fun fact that Nimrod was supposed to be a mighty warrior, and when Bugs Bunny was fighting Elmer Fudd, he called him Nimrod. In a cartoon. And then after that, they considered it to be an insult, just like calling somebody an idiot. But he was actually making fun of him, calling him a great warrior. I think you think that was kind of fun. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I haven't heard that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.